You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
All right, let's... I'm not even going to do a regular intro. Like, I'm just going to spill over from our show or from our pre-show and just welcome everybody to Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow us or follow me on all streaming services at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O, all streaming services. Jesus. follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We're also on Instagram at the same name. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. You can get all previous 300 some odd episodes there. We are also on Stitcher, on Google Play, on Spotify. We are everywhere you get podcasts except for you know where and you know why. And Doc is here. What's up?
Oh, man. We've been talking a lot about homeowning today already. We're getting off to a really, really good start. Now, everything's good. Y'all can follow me on Twitter or Instagram if you want, at @Doc_BeatsS0Z. And I'm experimenting with streaming, so we'll see how that goes. Although I might have just played too much. Like, the problem with streaming, I was just like, yeah, I'm letting the whole bag out. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you know.
It was an experiment.
You figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, we need to be streaming parts of this episode. Like, we need to figure out, there's a few things that we need to figure out, and that's actually what I meant to talk to you about, but we're on the show. We said this years ago, we definitely need an intern to help us with clips, and we definitely need to figure out, like, video or visual or something. I feel like those are, like, easy miss layups. We're taking threes, and there's nobody in the paint. We can hit the three. We can hit the three. But, you know, take a two.
That is definitely the oldest thing you've said. That's old man right there. It's like,
duh.
Sure, you could take the three. Take the two.
Listen, that's literally, you know whose fault that is?
Who?
That's League Pass's fault.
Okay.
Because that's all I watch is League Pass. I'm so behind on all my shows. Don't ask me. Somebody asked if we've seen, I was about to call it Hustle and Flow, Rhythm and Flow. No. And why? Because I've been watching League Pass. And the entire game is past either move the ball around and then somebody shoot a three, or it is ISO shoot a three. Unless you're like Giannis or Westbrook or something like that. Let me also say, it is clear, I don't know if you know, but I know that you're very perceptive, Doc. So I'm wondering if you noticed this when you had seasons that you've had League Pass. Teams play different when they know that they're going to be on TV.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
When they're on national TV versus when it's just like the local broadcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, literally, I watched a pickup game between, like, Dallas and Phoenix or something. Like, halftime, it was, like, 20 to, like, 28. It was crazy.
Who are you impressed by watching League Pass this year?
Siakam.
Yeah?
Siakam, Luka, and LeBron is so happy to have Anthony Davis.
Oh, my God.
On his team. Yeah. See, let me just start with Siakam. My hot take is that he is, if we're talking MVP race, it's LeBron, Luka, and Siakam.
Not Giannis.
No, because Giannis is, and I love Giannis, but Giannis is just like this unstoppable freak of nature. He's still just doing whatever he wants to do. Like, teams still haven't really adjusted that much to him outside of letting him shoot. But see, it's clear that Siakam got in the gym with a trainer who is not on Instagram, and like, oh my God, his skill set, like, he is a walking bucket. He is unstoppable no matter where he is on the floor, and nobody's talking about it because Toronto's not a popular market, and they want to make the Luka story happen. They either want to make the Luka story happen because it's the youngest, he'd be the youngest guy to get the MVP, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or LeBron to be 17 seasons in getting an MVP. Though they are both playing at MVP caliber levels, absolutely. But, man, Siakam is bodying everything. And I love to – and Van Vliet, too. I mean, people forget this, but they won 60 games before Kawhi got there. Like, Toronto's doing fine.
I mean, so, but they won 60 games, but they had DeRozan and they shipped him out. Like, they changed their team up.
Sure, sure, sure. But it wasn't like – Like Kawhi helped, absolutely. But it's not like they were this slouch team and Kawhi came and strapped them on his back and like led them to the promised land. That's not what happened at all. It's still a really, really good team. Yeah, I would say Siakam is the biggest person. Trae Young also, even though they're on the losing streak. Do not let Golden State get a lottery pick. Your man Kemba's balling out too.
Yeah, man, he had that real scary injury. And then everybody, it's so funny. Like, even though, like, you know, he hasn't played for UConn for what, like 8 years now? Like, as soon as that happened, everybody who I follow on Twitter who has anything to do with UConn, they all like reposted that immediately.
Yeah.
We're all Kemba fans, man. What can I say?
Yeah.
He's playing really well.
Boston as a whole, they're playing really well. They're playing really well too. They're doing all right. Then there's other people. I mean, like, let me think. Who else?
Like, Luka doing what he's doing at his age is nuts.
It's really interesting because now Porzingis is like, well, what do I do?
Well, right. They spent a lot of money on him, and it's, I don't really know if he's who they need.
Yeah, I think that they were expecting him to like pick up the Dirk slack.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like you would hope that they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. It's very early.
The thing that's hard for me to judge, right, because I look at Luka's numbers and I go like, how is it possible for, what is he, like 21, 20?
Yeah, I think he's 20.
How is it possible someone's putting up those numbers? One thing I got to keep remembering is like, the pace is a little different. Like, offense is a little bit, like, there's just more offense in general happening now than there was 15 years ago, right? So it's not quite the same, but they're still incredible numbers.
Absolutely. He's bodying everything. I mean, guy, he basically strapped Dallas on his back the other day when they beat the Lakers. And the Lakers had won like 16 games in a row or something like that.
I mean, but the Lakers haven't really played anybody good.
You know what's interesting? That's the other takeaway. Because the Lakers are doing great. They're gelling already. But you can beat them. Like, the problem is they kind of like, they do what LeBron teams do and they hang around.
Yeah.
We've talked about that on the show. Like, they just don't blow people out the way that they should. And if you create an environment or a culture that allows that, there's going to be a day where you hang around and you want to turn it on. It's LeBron when he's like, I'm in playoff mode, and then they lose. Right. Like, you can't do that, because my other hot take is nobody's beaten the Clippers four times. They're not. You can see it's early, but barring anybody getting hurt, they're going to gel at the right time and it's going to be over. It's going to be over. And you can tell. They're starting to click in small places. Yeah. They're going to turn up right around, maybe right before the All-Star break or right after, and nobody will be able to stop them. Yeah. Nobody's beating LA. Nobody's beating the Clippers four times. It's not happening.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about the NBA?
No. We have a lot to talk about today. So what's up with you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Good. I went ahead and treated myself on Black Friday to a whole huge batch of new drum sounds to play around with. So,
yo, Doc about to take the blackout acapellas. Do a remix album like it's 2003.
Well, I'm gonna remix the remix album. Yeah.
Yep.
No, you know, sometimes every so often you got to switch it up a bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. I'm excited to hear what you do.
Yeah.
That's a big producer thing I'm noticing. Like, everybody puts their kits on sale for Black Friday. I mean, just independent artists have really embraced Black Friday as a sale point. So, nah, good for them. That's what's up.
You want to talk about the Grammy nominations?
Yeah. Because I don't want to talk about my Black Friday.
Black Friday. Okay, so we can talk Black Friday real quick if you want.
My bad. So, all I'm going to say is I went crazy, but I was like really responsible with my crazy.
Okay.
So I didn't like buy a bunch of sneakers and clothes and stuff. Like, I bought like pots and pans and tires, and I bought a coat. I bought a suitcase. So I posted on social media like, hey, you guys want me to do a haul? And everybody's like, yeah. Like, I got a bunch of DMs like, yeah, do a vlog. And it's just going to show how responsible I was this year. But they had some really good deals this year. Like, Black Friday felt like Black Friday from a consumer standpoint this year. It wasn't the ruse. So yeah.
Yeah, it was hard for me to, like, there were really good deals on some Sony 4K TVs that were really hard for me to not pull the trigger on. But I was like, nope, don't need it. It's fine.
Good thing you didn't.
Why?
Because you had to, for our Patreon listeners, they know about your heating issues.
Oh. Yeah.
It's okay, my bad. Passport Doc, he got that.
No,
4K TV and a heater, no problem.
when we bought the house, we knew that because this heater is 64 years old, we knew we'd have to replace it someday. Mm-hmm. So first, like over time, we stashed away money specifically. We literally have like a bank account that is like, we have a special savings account that is literally for this day.
Dope.
Because we knew, we saw the house because we got a good deal on it. We're like, well, we're going to have to replace that someday. So let's start stashing away money right now.
Yep. Okay. That's what's up. What else was I was going to ask you something about Black Friday and TVs. I mean, you can always just, they say the Super Bowl is the best time for TV, so you might be all right in another 2 months.
Yeah, I'm trying to be good. Although, you know, keep watching stuff on Disney Plus and everything else and more 4K than ever. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I can't go back.
Yeah. I hear you.
I Amazon had refurbished Nintendo Switches for $200.
Mm.
And I kept like, nah, I didn't pull the trigger. And of course they're gone now, but I had them in my cart a few times. And I'm like, I'm not going to have time.
You know, and then you're going to get, you know, Mario Maker. And then next thing you know, you got to quit your job.
Pretty much. Because it's literally all I watch.
And then you become a full-time Mario Maker YouTuber. And this just becomes a weird world that you live in.
So we'll just have a Clock Radio Speakers Twitch and I'll play Mario Maker and you'll like make beats.
I'll just make beats. There you go.
Yep. That'll work. Okay. Let's talk Grammy nods. I'm ready.
So it's been an interesting... So as a refresher, Grammys, the eligibility, I think it's always been unusual, but I think now it's even... Like, it's like September 1st to August 31st? Is that right? Yes. And actually this year, it's shorter because they moved it, they sort of shortened the year a little bit, right? So it used to be October 1st to September, to the end of September, and they changed it up. So actually this year, the eligibility runs from October 2018 to August 31st, 2019.
Okay.
Which is really weird. And they moved up the Grammys. They're now the week between the conference finals and the Super Bowl, not in February anymore, which is interesting.
Okay.
So keep that in mind as we talk about like these different things. So do you want to start? I mean, is there anything, are there like particular things that you want to jump into, or should we just start with like a, here's where we're at?
Let's just get into the Grammy nods. Let's get into what we normally get into.
So like, to me, like not at all surprising, Lizzo did incredibly well. She's
out of here.
Eight nominations, right?
This is her coming out party.
It was really smart what they did, right? So as a reminder, for the Grammys, artists and labels submit specific songs for specific categories, right? They pick stuff out. So
we're going to talk about that shortly. Yep.
So it means that if you're an artist like Lizzo, mm-hmm. who kind of crosses different genres,
mm-hmm.
you can be very strategic about what you submit for what.
Mm.
Right. Like, so she has, so here's an example, right? Like, I'm just going to dive in because it's good, useful talking about Lizzo. Like for R&B, there's best R&B performance and best traditional R&B performance.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzo is nominated in both for two different songs.
See?
Right. Because she's, you know, she she's so known and famous now that she can do that. Right. So she's all over the place. So her team really took advantage of that. She has eight nominations. It's going to be the year Lizzo, probably. I mean, she's winning Best New Artist.
Okay, let's look at those. Let's look at the nominees.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Black Pumas. She's got to worry about Billie, the Best New Artist.
Oh, she does have to worry about Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
And Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X, Maggie Rogers, which sounds like somebody who would win a Best New Artist over all these people. Rosalia. Tank and the Bangas. Oh my God, I'm old. And Yola.
If you've never seen the video of Maggie Rogers and Pharrell, it's really good. So Pharrell did this like masterclass thing with NYU where he would like listen to, I think it's NYU, where he listened to like people who were coming out of some music program and he like gave them advice or whatever. And this is how Maggie Rogers got known. And so she's like a student there and she played the record and he was just like, his jaw dropped. Like he was just astonished. He couldn't get over like how good it was. And he was so complimentary and like really blew up online. Cause it was like a really like nice online moment, you know?
Huh.
But that was like 2 or 3 years ago, but you know, it's okay.
Okay. I got it on. Yeah. But, 3 years ago. Yeah. I'm behind.
But it's interesting. What I like about the official Grammy site is, they define what best new artist means.
Okay.
An artist will be considered for best new artist if their eligibility year releases achieved a breakthrough into the public consciousness and notably impacted the music landscape. Mm. So it's not your first thing you've ever done. Mm. It's when did you blow up, basically.
When did you blow up?
That's a more elaborate way of saying when did you blow up, which I'm like, good, define it.
I agree. Words mean things, and we need to make sure that we're all on the same page as far as what they mean to whoever is setting the table, essentially. So does that mean that two artists that we talked about this year, so The Baby and Megan Thee Stallion, would they technically be considered new artists?
Have they blown up? I mean, I think The Baby certainly has.
The Baby, doesn't he have a record with like Celine Dion or something? He has a record with somebody huge coming. Like, he's about to be out of here if he's not out of here already. Even the Jabberwockies thing, right? Like, out of here. Megan, I don't know yet. I think she might have a chance to sneak in.
I don't know if either one of them has crossed over to the pop consciousness the way that Lil Nas X did.
I agree.
The way that Lizzo did.
I agree. I mean, Lil Nas X is going to be able to eat forever. As long as his business was right, he'll be able to feed his kids off that one record, which is crazy.
I mean, the thing is, though, like, I'd love to know what the splits are on Old Town Road, because they had to go in and give the Nine Inch Nails guys co-production credit because of the sample.
Yeah.
So I'd love to know how much he's really eating off that.
That's true. Maybe that's why he was trying to make Panini work so bad. Okay. You want to start with the big ones and go to hip hop, or you want to start with hip hop?
Let's talk the big ones. So, record of the year.
Okay. Yep.
We've got Bon Iver with Hey Ma. You're imagining Justin Verdon singing over that beat, aren't you?
Of course. Speaking of which, I didn't send that to you. Cam is going on tour.
Okay.
The Purple Haze 2 tour.
Uh-huh.
I just want to see, I mean, you don't, but I want to see if he's going to anywhere near you, because he's coming to Cincinnati. Oh, he's in Hartford, March 6th.
March 6th.
And then he's in Cambridge. How far is Cambridge from you?
That's just outside Boston. It's like an hour and a half.
Okay, so that's March 7th.
So wait, where is he playing in? Let's find out.
Yeah, let's find out where Cincinnati is.
Where'd you find this at?
It was on his Instagram.
Oh, he's playing at the Webster. Yeah, that's pretty tiny. That's general admission. I've been there before. 25 to 75. Oh, because they do all the
you doing meet and greets and stuff?
Yeah.
Where do you see the prices at?
I mean, at least from where I'm at, they sell the Webster, they sell their stuff through Eventbrite.
Okay. Okay. No, because I'm looking at the Cincinnati date, and it's through Live Nation.
Oh,
and they don't have, because they're doing a Jill Scott's doing a Words and Sounds tour, and I can't get a price for those either. Okay. We'll have to swing back around. But I thought that was interesting. Anyway. Bon Iver remaking Hey Ma with Freaky Zeke.
That would be great. Billie Eilish with Bad Guy.
Okay.
Ariana Grande, Seven Rings.
Okay.
Her with Hard Place. I've never seen, like, the difference between the respect that Her gets from the Grammy, Academy, whatever, compared to Her's status in the industry. I've never seen an artist have such a gap. Her gets nominated every year.
She does. Like last year was her coming out party.
Yeah, and she's back now again. Khalid with Talk. Of course, Lil Nas X and Billy Ray, Old Town Road. Lizzo with Truth Hurts, and Post Malone and Swae Lee with Sunflower.
Mm.
Boy, there's a lot of ways that could go.
Absolutely.
I could see Billie Eilish.
Yep.
Seven Rings was huge.
Yep.
I could
even forget about that because that was last year, right?
Yeah.
Or early this year?
Right.
Was it last year?
It feels like a long time ago. I could see Lil Nas X winning in a weird way. It was such a weird year. I could see Lizzo kind of winning. I could see Post Malone and Swae Lee winning.
That's what I was going to say. I could see Sunflower sneaking in. Yep. Yeah.
I don't think Bon Iver's. Well, I saw how many nominees Bon Iver got for his stuff this year, and I was like, wow. Because, like, I actually kind of like his album, but it wasn't like amazing. So I was like, okay, well, okay, cool.
How many did he get?
How many did Bon Iver get?
Yeah.
Record of the year, album of the year. What else? And then I'm guessing he's got to have a bunch under, like, you know, alternative rock or whatever they call him. I don't even know what you call Bon Iver at this point. Yeah, he's not under rock. Alternative. Actually, he doesn't have as much as you think. I think he might only have 3 nominees, but 2 of them are for like the top 2, right? Record of the year and album of the year. So let's speed up because we have a lot to talk about. Let's look to see if there's any interesting things here. Oh, interesting. So yeah, let's see. That Lil Nas X album, 7, is nominated for album of the year. That's incredible.
Atlantic. He's Atlantic, right?
I thought it was Columbia.
Okay.
Either way.
They threw those. You know there's an album that is like glaringly missing from this category.
Sure. Let's just talk about it right now, which is why isn't Tyler here?
Absolutely. Even if he just gets the hip hop nod.
Let's jump to the hip hop nominees after okay. this and Song of the Year. But yeah, it's weird that Tyler's not here. It's very strange that Tyler's not here.
Yep.
Because like, again, her nominated. Lizzo, I'm not surprised by. Ariana Grande, not surprised by. Billie Eilish, not surprised by. Lana Del Rey, not surprised by. But yeah, no Tyler.
What about strange. Vampire Weekend?
Not that surprised.
Okay. I think Lil Nas X can go because sure. he's known as a one-hit wonder right now. And not in a bad way because he's kind of embraced it.
Right.
But he didn't have to be nominated for Album of the Year. Tyler made, I don't even want to say, like, he made a good album, so he should be. But it's just in line with what traditionally the Grammys have wanted in a rap album. You know, I think it's just it has just enough hip hop culture in it to be in consideration, at least.
Mm.
So that's a glaring omission to me.
Yeah, it's a weird one. And then Song of the Year, the other of the, so there's just 3 big categories. I mean, Lizzo is the closest you're getting to hip hop in this category.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of hip hop.
Can we have the is Lizzo hip hop conversation? Have we already had that when we talked about her album?
I don't know. We've talked about her for sure.
But people are like, Lizzo's not hip hop. And I think that's balderdash. Absolutely hip hop. She's absolutely hip hop. She's hip hop. She's not standing on the corner with like one pant leg rolled up with Timberlands and she's not ice grilling the camera, but she's hip hop.
She's not LL Cool J in 1997. Is that what you're saying?
No, I was thinking of more like Onyx or something like that. But like, she's hip hop. She is clearly hip hop. She's rapping and singing. Like, there are hip hop elements. If we're talking about hip hop elements in the production, the drums, the tempos, like some of the sounds, they're just, I think the reason why people say she's not hip hop is because it's polished. It's like really, her music is really, really polished. But that I don't think that discredits her as hip hop.
I think she's, she doesn't really rap all that much.
Okay. So then here's a question. Do you have to rap in order for it to be hip hop?
I feel like this is a trick question. Yes.
I mean, I would say no.
Rap sing?
I mean, like, I don't know. I just wouldn't, hip hop isn't necessarily, like, rap is a part of hip hop, but rap isn't hip hop.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Mary J. Blige is the queen of hip hop soul.
So Mary J. Blige is not hip hop.
She's 100% hip hop. Are you kidding me?
She's R&B. She is not hip hop.
She's completely hip hop. Maybe that's the difference, Doc, where Mary's presentation was unpolished. That's why people loved her, because she was so imperfect. And Lizzo, at least how she, maybe her... her story, of course, her being a bigger woman, those are where the imperfections, quote unquote, lie. But her music, the presentation of like her music is super, super polished. Maybe that's why people say she's not hip hop.
No, I think it's because I think there are people in hip hop who sing, but they sing and everyone's kind of in on the joke most of the time because we know that, well, they're using auto-tune and they're more like sing rapping than they are singing, but they're really rapping at the core. Whereas like Lizzo is actually like a legit singer. She's making R&B songs on this project. She's also making hip hop songs on this project.
So then R&B should be able to exist within hip hop.
Alongside, sure. People do it all the time. Lauryn Hill made a whole she had a whole career out of it, remember?
Yeah, so I don't know.
But so Lauryn Hill's an interesting case.
I mean, she was rapping a lot too though.
She was.
She was rapping.
Let me ask you this. Do you consider Missy R&B or hip hop?
She's hip hop.
Right. She was primarily hip hop, but she could do the R&B. And to me, Lizzo, her formula is weighted the opposite of Missy's. She's R&B, but she can do the hip hop.
You sound old.
The hip hop.
She can do the hip hop.
She can do the rap that these kids do.
Yeah. The rapping and the... So yeah, let us know at CRS Podcast if you consider Lizzo hip hop or not and why. I'm curious to know. I feel like I'm probably on the losing side of that argument, but I think she's hip hop. I don't think hip hop nowadays, oh my God, like there's not really a whole lot of rules to say what is hip hop. So I think she can edge in there. Maybe 10 years ago, not so much. Now, absolutely.
For what it's worth, her and her team, and maybe this was strategic, but they submitted her album as a urban contemporary album.
Oh, come on. Come on. Yeah. You know what time it is, Doc. You're not a stupid guy. You know what it is.
All right. You want to talk about these rap categories?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Best rap performance. J. Cole, Middle Child.
Okay.
DaBaby, Suge.
Okay.
Dreamville with Down Bad.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Nipsey, Racks in the Middle.
Okay.
Offset and Cardi, Clout.
I feel like this is J. Cole's to lose.
Will the Dreamville vote split it at all?
Because I don't know, because I don't think anybody's voting for that Dreamville record.
That's one of those, it was nice to be nominated records? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that gets J.I.D. and Bass and all them, that gets them like there. We made it.
We can now say Grammy nominated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And congrats to them. Absolutely. Yeah, I think this is J. Cole's to lose. I wouldn't be surprised if Cardi and Offset won, though.
Nipsey might walk away with a record, with something here.
He's definitely getting a Grammy. Yes. He's getting one.
So he has a couple more options where he could get one. But I look at this and I go, it should be J. Cole.
Yeah. Yep.
Rap song performance. Oh no. DJ Khaled with Nipsey and John Legend, the Uber driver, it's higher. Lil Baby and Gunna, Drip Too Hard. I feel like Drip Too Hard was out before. When was Drip Too Hard? Was like summer of last year, wasn't it?
Maybe late summer, yeah.
Somehow that snuck in. Panini, Lil Nas X.
Okay.
Mustard, Ballin'.
Roddy Ricch, shout out to Roddy Ricch.
Yep. And Young Thug, Cole, and Travis Scott, The London.
First 2 minutes of that record are fire. First minute and a half.
That feels like Nipsey. Here's what the Grammy voters are going to be like. John Legend, Nipsey Hussle?
Yeah.
Have I ever heard the song? No. Sold.
And they know Khaled because Khaled's funny, right?
Sure. They know DJ Khaled. They're going to be like, isn't he the Snapchat guy?
Yep. Oh, Snapchat. Ooh.
I feel
TikTok
like
TikTok has totally stole that Snapchat wave, I think.
I feel like that's the Nipsey and John Legend.
I agree.
Yeah.
Here's the question for you though, Doc, before we move on.
Yeah.
Does John Legend roll up on the stage in his piano Uber? Does it just go up the steps?
I think it would be. They could definitely do a live performance with him with a car, but it's actually a piano.
He's doing donuts in it.
Yep. And then when they, you know, and then they'll play Nipsey's verse, and they'll, you know, the backdrop will, you know, have angels or something. You know, it'll be some sort of heavenly celestial event. Meanwhile, DJ Khaled's doing ad libs. I could see it.
Doing ad libs with his finger in the air. Yep. Angels. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Best rap song. YBN Cordae and Chance, Bad Idea.
Crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah. 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 Just don't record yourself crying.
What do you mean?
He put the phone up to his face and pressed record while he was crying that he won a Grammy. I don't know. He was just...
That bothers
you? That doesn't bother me. It's just like you're crying and the first thing you go to do is like hit record and show everybody that you're... I don't know.
It's a different generation, man.
I guess so.
Rick Ross and Drake with Gold Roses.
Okay.
21 and J. Cole, A Lot.
Okay.
Nipsey, Racks in the Middle.
Mm-hmm.
DaBaby, Suge.
I'm either going with, oh my God, because that's 21 Savage's record.
I know. A Lot would be an interesting.
A Lot would be interesting. And I also feel like Suge could sneak in and get that one. I don't think it will, though.
How many people are going to look at this and go, I know Rick Ross and I know Drake?
I don't think Ross and Drake get it.
I don't think they do either. I'm just saying, like, this category feels entirely up in the air.
I also wouldn't be surprised if they did that with Chance.
Mm.
Oh, I know Chance. He's on the Netflix
Chance
show.
And the new guy.
Yeah, he's a new guy. I can see that.
Okay. Best rap album. Dreamville's Revenge of the Dreamers. Meek Mill, Championships.
Mm-hmm.
21, I Am, I Was.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler with Igor.
Mm-hmm.
And YBN, Cordae with Lost Boy. I mean, this is Tyler's to lose, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if Meek snuck in.
Boy, that would just be... That's the ultimate Jay-Z Rock Nation power play right there, huh?
Absolutely.
Tyler's got to win this.
And I hope Tyler comes on stage and gives a scathing speech. But also, we have to take into account that, to your point, Doc,
yeah,
we don't know what he submitted for.
Sure. I mean, presumably he put... Right. I mean, I got to say, like, when I was looking at, like, best rap song performance, and mm-hmm. I see that, like, typically that means you've got a rapper and a singer. But, like, yes. Lil Nas X with Panini, yeah. like, he is rapping and singing, and he's the same person.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, did he really not submit Earthquake for best rap song performance?
Bruh. Really weird if he didn't.
Really strange, right?
Yep.
Okay. Boy, Meek winning for best rap album, that would be, oh man, there's no way. I think Tyler's got this. He's got the GQ cover right now. Like, Tyler's got this.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Okay. Do you want to talk about so R&B, obviously we talk R&B sometimes in the show. Looking at the R&B nominations, anything interesting stick out to you?
Okay. So I'm just going through. Shout out to Lucky Day. Lucky Day, I think I heard got three noms. For Rosamo, I haven't heard Real Games.
Yeah, and the Rosamo got best R&B song as well.
I mean, hey, Rosamo is a listen, man. Rosamo is a great song about inviting a girl to smoke weed with him. That's a really dope record. So shout out to him. And then Say So, PJ Morton and JoJo. That's a great song too. I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Brown and Drake did not win.
Yeah, I don't think the Grammys are going to vote for Chris Brown.
Never. Never. I'd be surprised if he even showed up.
I think that's hers to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
They like her enough to nominate for those higher categories.
Yep.
But I think Lizzo's going to just clean up in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like that Best Urban Contemporary album, Lizzo's winning that.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
Anything else really stick out to you for like, can't believe they did this or did that. Aside from the obvious, why wasn't Tyler nominated for Album of the Year?
No, not really. I think it was just it's the Grammys, yo. Mm. I don't get upset. The only thing I was upset about was that they waited until us to drop an episode and then say, okay, now let's reveal, because they knew what time it was with us.
Right.
Other than that, no. Tyler's the biggest omission, but like I don't you know, people are like, oh, Freddie Gibbs or oh whatever, like no, like, it's not how this goes. I'm not surprised that, you know, some of these rappity rap guys like, oh, they didn't nominate Griselda, like I'm not surprised, and I'm not even upset either. Like,
sorry, I'm just imagining like up for best rap album, it's Hitler Wears Hermes 6.
That would be hilarious, and yeah, that would never happen. Never. I'm cool with that because it's the Grammys, right? Okay, so we done with the Grammys?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I have a quick question for you before we move on.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Apple announcing that they're putting out Apple Awards for music?
I think it's just one more, like, they're just trying to, you know, it's all like reminding people, yeah, hey, Apple Music is a thing. Hey, it's all just a big promo for them. I don't think they're trying to take away from, you know, the Grammys or anything like that. I think it's honestly an excuse to get like news articles written about Apple Music, basically.
Mm.
And they have a lot of money to burn, you know?
Mm, mm-hmm.
So that's all. The awards, actually, the actual awards themselves, as you might expect from Apple, look incredible. It's a really cool idea what they did.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty much all I got.
I wanted to know. All right. I was just curious to know what you thought.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Anything else we need to talk about for Grammys?
Nah, I think we're good.
Okay. Oh man, you ready to talk about some music?
Yeah.
Actually, do we need to talk about bundling?
Yeah, we probably should before we get into these albums, yeah.
Okay. So
what happened, Doc?
Well, bundling has been a popular topic. Mm-hmm. And they have announced, they being Billboard, has announced that they're going to change the rules regarding bundling, and they've set some, let me look up the actual price limits. They've set basically some guidelines saying that, like, if you're going to bundle an album with merch or a concert ticket or whatever else, it has to be like explicitly a certain price point, a certain piece of that is definitely like, oh, you're paying $350 or whatever the number is extra for the album. So in other words, you're not just spending, oh, $5 gets you like this. Oh, and we're giving you the album for free. Like they're trying to tighten that down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that. I mean, so there have been, yeah, I've got new rules, hashtag. All right. So let's look at this. So this is starting January 3rd, 2020. So yeah, it's $349 is the number. So basically, if you're bundling together merchandise and an album, that bundle has to be at least $3.49 more than the merch album alone. Apparently, $349 is the minimum price of an album to qualify for the charts. So you could price your, 90-minute album at $349 if you really wanted to.
Okay.
And so they're doing, there have been a number of artists this year who have taken advantage of bundling. Bundling has been around for a long time. We've talked about bundling on the show before, but, there was a whole thing between DJ Khaled and Tyler regarding bundling this year. Travis Scott has taken his thing with Nicki last year. He bundled a ton of merch, and he continues to bundle merch, right? He announced a new project. Was it called Jack Boys?
Yeah.
And
the Jack Boys, yep.
And he's already bundling for that.
Yeah, somebody found the scooter that he was selling on Alibaba. So yeah. I think on Alibaba it's like $130. And it's like, it's the exact same picture. On Travis's site, it's like $530.
Buy for one, sell for two.
That's what it is.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So I like overall, like my takeaway from this is I think this will just, I don't know. It's not going to dead the controversy over bundling, right? Because if you're a real big fan, like is $3.49 tacked onto a t-shirt, is that really going to make you not buy it all of a sudden?
Absolutely.
I guess like some people will be like, no, I don't need the digital album. But like, so actually I take that. I mean, so here's what I predict. I think like all rules, there will be compliance and then people will figure out interesting ways to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think as long as we are trying to right now, for a long time, it was only what did you sell? And that was flawed, but it was one way to measure what is on Billboard Top 100, right?
Mm.
With streaming, now they're trying to measure not just what did you sell, but what are people like actively listening to?
Mm.
And that's a different kind of a thing, right? And so because they're still keeping those two, they're trying to take those two different things and merge them into one number. Like we're still in this transition where it's going to be a problem. I could see a world. I don't think we're not there yet. And clearly certain genres, streaming is lagging behind physical sales, and especially certain artists. If you have an older fan base, they are buying more physical. But like there's an end game somewhere out there where I could see like, oh, actually we just, we might make note of physical sales, but like we don't even really work. Eventually the charts could only be streaming.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I'm sure that like, I don't know. I would not be surprised in 2020, even with these new rules, if there was some new controversy regarding bundling, right? Because artists, they've got egos. Everybody has egos of some kind. And a lot of musicians have very large egos. And if they feel they should be number one and, either their bundle didn't count, like what happened with DJ Khaled, or people think that bundles shouldn't count, then they're going to feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't, you can try to tweak the rules all you want. People are still going to get mad.
Absolutely.
I mean, never mind like the old, like there's, I mean, a lot of, myths or legends or maybe, actual true stories about, labels buying extra copies to inflate like first week sales and stuff like.
Saying that's what happened with Dave East.
So wait, what happened with Davies?
So there were rumors that he was only like, I guess there was a point where he was only projected to do like 4K.
That's pretty low.
Yeah. And then he got like this super big rush and he ended up, I think his first week was like 24 or something like that. So people were saying that because the prediction was so different from the final outcome that, Def Jam was Def Jig. That's the rumor though. We don't know that to be true.
So yeah, when you heard all this stuff about bundles, like, well, I mean, you're an artist. So like you're in a different kind of space, right? You're not exactly going for number one on Billboard.
Nah. It'd be nice, but
sure.
It is what it is.
But as you put out stuff, whether it's merch, you know, you've got new projects coming out, like do you think about like bundling in a particular way? Do you think about it in terms of you're just trying to give fans like the biggest bang for their buck? Like, what is your yes. reaction to this?
Yeah, that's been the biggest way, because I'm not trying to chart or whatever. So it's like, okay, how can I give my audience, my paying audience value, and then me still being able to monetize my music and merch and all that other stuff? I haven't quite found it yet, but I do feel like in 2020, I'm going to try something. I've got some ideas, but yeah, I mean, for somebody at my level, it's, you know, we're not trying to hit Billboard. That basically opens the floor. You know, these are people who are trying. Clearly, this is the Khaled rule to me. So, you know, people are trying to aim for number one. Rihanna did it. Eminem did it years ago. And now it's very, very normalized or whatever. So I don't know. I don't really care. Like, I don't think this really changed anything for me or for any other independent artist. Like, the goal is still to figure out a way to, you know, create value within your platform. People are wanting to pay. They want to support you. So it's like, you know, finding something that make that, you know, doesn't make you feel like you're cheaping out your audience, because you don't have to pay. You just get it on. I mean, God, we're approaching. What are we approaching? I haven't checked the numbers, but we've got to be like over 100 purchases for Snooze Button. And that's crazy. Like, because I was told that people don't buy MP3s anymore.
Right.
So I don't know. And that's just me rapping for 20 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, who knows when we put out Kairos 2 and whatever, whatever. Like, just trying to find some, I don't know. I'm not sure yet. Say all that to say, I'm not sure yet.
And speaking of you and music, you've got a single coming out.
Yeah. Woke will be available Friday, this Friday. Yep. Everywhere. So there will be no strictly on ArmandWakeUp.com, not splitting it up. Nope. It'll be available everywhere. You can pre-save it now at ArmandWakeUp.com. Just go to my website. You'll see the cover for the single. Click on the single. You'll be able to pre-save it to Spotify and I believe Apple Music. And yeah, Friday. It's a song that was supposed to be on Even If I Lose. Was kind of uncertain because of the topic and like how I was going to write it, how I was going to approach it to really communicate my point and my perspective. I feel like I've done that. And so I'm just really excited about what everybody's response is going to be. If you've listened to this podcast, then you know exactly what I'm going to talk about. But if this is your first time, tune in on Friday.
And welcome.
And welcome. Yes.
All right. You ready to talk about music?
Let's do it, man.
All right. Let me just take some notes here real quick. Make sure I know what we've been talking about. Oh, man. Your boy Abel.
I'm not going to say anything until you get all your bars off. You get the first verse. I get the second verse. Busta Rhymes will be on the hook.
So he's back with two new singles, Blinding mm-hmm. Lights and Heartless.
Mm-hmm.
The titles alone tell you everything you want to know about these two songs.
The covers tell you everything sure. you need to know.
Sure. I want to start with Blinding Lights. Because I think I think that's meant to be the I Can't Feel My Face wave, right? He's back with Max Martin on production. Just straight up drugged out cocaine synths. I think it's fine. It's a weird, I don't know. It's not like he's making music that is, it's like, it's still not as dirty and grimy as that first mixtape.
No.
But like, he's still making like grimy music, just like cleaned up and polished.
Yeah, but does that mean it's cleaned up? Well, I guess because it's the content, right? That's what's still grimy?
Yeah, a little grimy.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out. No, finish everything that you want to say.
No, that's
about the
all
song.
I want. And honestly, like, I don't know. It's fine. I think it's fine. It doesn't sound like an obvious hit to me. Now, I, you know, it did really good numbers. I saw on streaming initially. I don't know if it's what it's projected to debut on Billboard Hot 100. I'm sure it'll do well because there's not a ton happening in music right now.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know. Like, I've heard better versions of this from The Weeknd.
Okay, so hold on. I just want to make sure that I am on the same page with you as far as what Blinding Lights is. I think I am. Yes. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when I heard this, what I was, I was brought back to a certain time in my life.
Okay.
Doc, I want to say it was like...
Were you driving in a car, maybe at nighttime?
On a video game, yes. And I was in Vice City.
Yep.
And shout out to my man, Tommy Carsetti. And this song, and I was like, what song was this that this sounds like? And then, oh, aha!
I Ran So Far Away.
No. Oh. Yes, 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 but also this. I said, this is Danger Zone!
First of all, the Top Gun soundtrack is unimpeachable. All right.
Listen, that's no slander from me.
Okay, good.
Never heard the whole soundtrack, but that song
whoa,
is.
Whoa!
I haven't. Whoa, easy. Why would I hear the Top Gun soundtrack?
You grew up in the 80s, right?
I did. I saw the movie in the
theater.
Okay,
I mean, that's all you need. I mean, you saw the movie in the theater?
Yeah.
What year were you born?
84.
You were two?
Wait, hold on. Top Gun didn't come out in 86. Oh, you know what? You know what? My bad. I'm hold on.
No, the reason why I said that is because I did see it and I was born in 83. My dad took me to see Top Gun at 3 years old.
No, my bad. I saw Hot Shots in the
Part deux.
Oh, that movie was terrible. Both of them were terrible. My bad. I saw Top Gun at home. My dad had it on tape.
Yeah. Oh, we owned it on tape. I bought it on DVD. I bought it on Blu-ray. I owned it on digital. Top Gun, that is my childhood, man. Top Gun is, woo.
So what happened was Abel was sitting on his throne.
Yeah.
On his Tony Montana throne with the next to mountains.
Yep.
And he sat up and he turned the TV on and Top Gun was on. And Danger Zone came on and he said, I want to remake that. And Max Martin was probably sitting next to him or he was in another room and he's like, I got you.
He was on top of the cocaine?
Yes. I didn't want to say cocaine, yeah, but fine. Sure.
You know what's going on. By the way, you said Vice City and then you said Tommy Carchetti. I think that's the mayor from The Wire.
No, wait, hold on. Hold on. Yo, I'm all over the place. What is his name? Tommy Vercetti. My bad.
I get it.
My bad. You're right. Thanks for the correction.
I was like, Tommy Carchetti.
Yeah, my bad. Oh, vote for Carchetti, my bad. You got it. You're right. Oh, man, this is taking me back. Looking at all the characters. Okay, all right. Move on. Yeah, Blinding Lights is, yeah.
Is it, do you like this song?
No.
Yeah, it's not that good, right?
Nah, it's not what I'm, we're getting there.
Okay. Now, Heartless,
mm-hmm.
produced by Metro Boomin and Illangelo.
Okay.
This is... First of all, this is not a song for a space that I am in my life right now.
At all.
Because I am not like in a debaucherous place where I'm trying to figure out, can I take that stripper home tonight? Should I take that stripper? The Weeknd made a stripper song. This is a strip club song, 100%.
Yeah.
It's the better of the two songs, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a smash. I'm a little confused by what he's doing right now, if I'm being honest with you. He does not sound like he has been in a great place relationship-wise, which is an understatement. You got some bars you want to get off, man?
Okay. All right, Dots. Let me ask you a personal question.
Yes, sir.
So do you have any friends in your life that like you may have been around them or hung out with them like for a certain period of time. So you've got lifetime friends, whatever. And maybe during that time, you know, you guys were engaging in, you know, just certain activities.
Sure.
At the time it was cool, but, you know, 10, 15 years have passed. You get married, you buy a house, your heater breaks.
Yeah.
You know, your priorities change because sure. you want to prepare for the next 50 years of your life. Everything's slowing down. What you want changes. But then maybe you run into those people. And people just separate. They just go their separate ways. And, you know, everybody has their own individual past and that's cool. But when you meet them, they're either still doing what you guys were doing back then, or maybe they went on their path and their path ended up back to where you guys were 10 or 15 years ago.
Right. So, you know, you're settling down, but they're settling up right there.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, I settled down. Crashed and burn.
Yep.
now jumping back in and I'm playing the weekend and it's Saturday night or Sunday morning, more like.
Yes.
Everything's a little hazy.
Yes.
I'm trying to make some mistakes.
Yes. Yes. Because back then, you were probably late teens, early 20s, early mid 20s. Sure. Like, you didn't know just how deep those things were going to go. But, you know, when you're a little older, you know exactly what you're doing. Mm. And you just choose to roll the dice, even though the dice all have the same numbers on them. You know what's going
to
happen.
What you're saying is the weekend has been listening to our original collaboration project called 3-Day Weekend.
Available right now on ArmandWakeUp.com. I think I'm going to take all that stuff down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna. Yeah, I'll tell you. I got
somebody. Take it off. Get it while you can.
Pretty much.
As Armand goes to take it down before we put this episode out.
Why is it while we're doing this episode right now? You're gonna be talking like, Armand, what do you think? Yeah, I feel like I grew up with The Weeknd. I feel like The Weeknd was my really good friend for a certain period of my life.
Okay.
And now that period is over. And, you know, priorities are changing, settling down. And I'm like you're back to doing this. Like, and it's not even, you're not even mad at him. You're not angry at him. You're just like, oh, you're just disappointed because they could be so much more, but then you can't judge them. You kind of have to, you got to love people where they are and you got to accept them where they are, whatever that means. So accepting somebody where they are could mean, you know, high and by. It could be, you know, see you when I see you, or it could be helping them walk through whatever, but that's a whole other conversation. I say all that to say, I don't want to hear Coke raps from The Weeknd. Is Coke raps are different from like Benny the Butcher versus like The Weeknd?
It's a different kind of Coke rap.
Different kind of Coke rap.
Benny the Butcher with The Weeknd on the same song would be very interesting.
That would actually be kind of crazy.
Has Griselda done a collabo with Pusha yet?
Yeah, Benny's got records with Pusha. Yeah.
I was going to say, or is that too much like, you know, the Spider-Man pointing at each other meme. Is that what's going on?
No, they got a record on Benny's EP, The Plugs I Met.
Oh, right.
Called 18 Wheeler.
That's right.
And it's cool. It's straight. It's solid. It's not like, not like a Drug Dealers Anonymous or anything like that. But it's cool.
I got a hot take.
Okay.
I think Pusha might be overrated now.
You know what, though? A lot of the people that people say can rap, I don't feel like they can rap to the degree that everybody else says they can.
Okay.
So we'll talk about Griselda shortly, but I got a hot take with Griselda as far as that goes.
Okay.
I'm with you on Pusha. I'm going to throw Freddie Gibbs in that category.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't think Freddie can rap because much like somebody that we're going to talk about on this show again, Freddie don't talk about nothing. Like, content has to be there. If you are an upper tier, if you are an elite MC, you have to have content. You have to. You can't just rap about rapping. Otherwise, I mean, shoot, Logic has content.
And this concludes this episode. No,
so I don't hate your Pusha. I think Pusha's fire, but I don't hate your take.
I think it's the this happens in the NBA a lot where someone's so underrated everybody talks about it and they become overrated.
That's Black Belt for me. So I'm rolling.
And you know, for the longest time.
Yeah, that's your guy.
Pusha was my man. I think Hell Hath No Fury is, ooh, where do I want to go with this? Might be like a top 5 album of this millennium? Top 10?
Listen,
will we do this definitive 15 for this decade?
We got to talk about Dark Twisted Fantasy because I'm already seeing some like egregious commentary surrounding that album.
It's the greatest album of all time, haven't you heard?
I heard that over and over and over and over. When it may not even be the best Kanye album of all time. But we'll
yeah. So that's we'll coming before the end of the year.
Hopefully.
We're running out of time.
We're running out of time. Yeah, it's already December. I'm leaving out of town. Like, we might just venture into 2020. Our vision. We have some 2020.
I'm making a call right now. We're calling our project 2020 Vision.
I've been thinking about, I still like Clock Radio Speakers, the album.
Okay. We'll think about that.
Yeah. It's right there.
So Where Are You on Weekend? So it's wrapped all of that up.
Oh, no. I already said I don't like either song. I don't want to hear The Weeknd. That's just not where I am in my life right now. And, you know, there are certain artists who are like, yo, you know, we talk about Wayne or somebody who's been doing this for a long time and the content just doesn't change.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta throw Abel in that pot. It's been close to 10 years and, you know, you had your moment with Starboy and I Can't Feel My Face is one of your biggest records and it's about doing coke, right? Kind of.
You know, it's a metaphor. Yeah, of course, about doing coke. Yeah,
there you go. What does coke feel like in order for all these people to make these songs about it?
People are going to look back and be like, what happened to Armand? Like, he really went to a dark place and they're going to point to this episode.
Listen, absolutely not. No. I'm too much of a control freak to even think about drugs. Anyway.
I've been rewatching I've been watching like bits and pieces of rewatching Wolf of Wall Street, which is love that movie, man.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Have you you watched The Irishman yet?
I have not.
Okay.
It's so long. It's daunting.
Yes, I agree.
I saw a tweet that suggests here's how you can break it up.
Okay.
Because like send right now, tweet. Like we have like I know that Marissa and I are both gonna want to watch it. And like due to schedules right now, we're at the point where like this week, I'm recording this, it's Tuesday night. I have not yet seen this week's Watchmen episode because we're waiting to watch it together.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to that.
Watchmen is incredible.
No, not Watchmen. I mean, like I'm already behind on all my shows because anytime my girl comes over, like, yeah, let's watch this. She falls asleep 15 minutes later. So I'm like, I'm just going to start watching. The minute I just start watching stuff, then I'm the bad guy.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've got four projects to talk about this week.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Before you get into that, didn't finish your point about Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, no. Just to say, like, you were talking about cocaine.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, the 80s were seemingly powered by cocaine.
Not seemingly. That is a fact, Jack.
And there are, you know, any number of, I mean, I don't know, like the thing about there's definitely like there are cocaine movies, right? Where it's like the first hour is all about like the rise. You know what I mean? Like Blow. Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're always like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Wolf of Wall Street, same way. Wow, this is what the life is like? Man. And then the fall happens and you're like, nah, I'm good. Like every college kid, like Blue came out when I was in college. Every college kid that watched Blow in the early 2000s, you watch the first hour and you're like, man, I'm going to be a drug dealer. This is great. Then you watch the second hour and you're like, no, I'm never touching this stuff. What? Drugs? Yeah. I don't do drugs. Dare. Drugs, what are you talking about?
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.